Miss Georgina Escobar, how are you today?
Hi, Marina. I'm doing great. Thank you.
How was this for you? I imagine that what started off as a festival with plays on the stage then turned into what we're doing now. What was that like for you mentally or as a playwright or kind of coming up with your concept?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was really strange how it happened because originally, Kim had asked me to write something for the festival, but I hadn't written it yet. We kind of cheated because I'm her colleague. And then when the pandemic hit, she sent out a call to the playwrights that she had already invited saying, hey guys, listen, we might have to go to radio. Can you reformat your play to fit radio or write a new piece that inspires you to fit the radio? So that was really good. And I think Julia, Vicky, and I took the challenge and didn't try to adapt something that was existing. We'd rather just write something for this medium. So that was fun to sort of approach it from like, what are audiences hearing instead of the things that could be communicated with body language or other forms of communication in the live stage.
And did that take a large shift in your brain in doing it? Or was it a kind of a natural transition to say, hey, I got to think about what people are hearing, not what they're seeing?
No, it was actually harder than I thought. And I didn't realize it until we hit rehearsals. In writing it, I was like, oh, no, this totally translates to radio. But then when we hit rehearsals, I was realizing that some of the actor moments, because it's a comedy and it's a satire in a way. So a lot of the comedic timing, you know what I mean, of like watching a character have a reaction, which is a lot of times inherent in comedy, just seeing how somebody reacts to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, we're not going to catch that. So Kim really did a wonderful job to get the actors to still react vocally. Like you could still almost read the energy of the reaction without seeing them. And that was a challenge. I give her mad props for that.
Well, I give you all mad props because I think it was very successful. I mean, this piece is really neat. And you, not your Alexa, but your other device, Mona, is that her name?
Yes.
I mean, you know what's happening. And it's literally because you understand what's happening within the sound. It's a challenge and you all rose to it well. And I'm so excited for you. And I don't know, maybe this opens up a whole other medium. Have you thought of that? Or are you like, no, I'm going back to the stage immediately after this pandemic?
It does open up a medium. My partner is, you know, an actor. So she's been doing voiceover since the pandemic hit as well. And, you know, so we have a studio built here in our home right now, a little makeshift voice studio. And then I did do a piece for Audible last year for this series called Talking While Female. The difference was that I was reading my own work. I had never done like a sort of play format for audio or for radio.
Yeah.
I dig it. I like it. I love radio. I mean, we still old school, like we still listen to the radio, like the actual radio, no.
Not podcasts or...
Like we literally go to the like tuning into the radio, you know, like, so I love it.
Before we started recording, you said something that was really important that I think is important for everybody listening to hear. And that was your take on Latinx work and why it's important to do festivals like this. I give you the floor.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's so funny because I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit against it at first because I was like, Kim, what can we do that is going to be different than like other places? And I was being a little petulant. But, you know, with good reason, I was just questioning, you know, if we're going to keep doing Latinx works, what are we doing differently that is not mimicking the white American theater model, but also that is telling our own stories in a way that is equivalent to, you know, that is just being innovative. And then this happened, and so this was creative. But one of the main goals, I think, for me in the curation, I didn't curate it, Kim did, but we were colleagues in that, at least throwing ideas back and forth, was to include an array of voices of different genres, of different styles, of different generations, of different places in their career, of different places in the country as well, even though three of us are from El Paso.
Sure.
So it's really nice. But, you know, geographical location, generational output, and just impulse in genre making and style, I think sometimes those get glossed over when people think, oh, this is a Latinx festival. It's all going to be about the same thing, which is unfortunate, right? Because we're humans, we have different experiences, and anything and everything that we do as Latinos is Latino or Latinx because we are. So inherently,
Right.
it is. It's not about the content. And I think this festival really embraces that.
No, and I mean, you said it best. I mean, you said you kind of dabble in sci-fi, you know, somebody who thinks of like, oh, Latinx work, that might not be something that even creeps into their brain. But you're right, by virtue of being who we are, that's it. That's all you need, right?
Right. And it's very good to share that with the listeners and with their audiences in general, of just breaking that narrative of Latinx is a genre, because it's not a genre. It just happens to be right now saying, hey, these are people of color, BIPOC people putting stories out, but the content is incredibly varied.
And speaking of varied content, you wrote this piece, but then you also had a hand in helping out some of the other playwrights in true Georgina Escobar style.
No me dejen sola. Originally, I was here to help him, and so she asked me to direct a play. So I came on as director of Andrus Yáñez de la O's play Borderline, which I fell in love with the first minute we
It's
heard it.
so cool.
Oh yeah. And as a matter of fact, we had asked other playwrights, and of course, people were lacking in response, which is fine. And then I heard his play in Portland, and I called him and I said, no, please invite Andrew. We have to have this piece. So we were very lucky to get him there. And then for Vicky, I mean, Vicky and I go way back. I love her. She's a mentor. She's an angel. I just admire her. So for me to even be in the same bill as her is incredible. And Julia, I didn't know. We set out an open call and it came and it was voted blindly. And she was the selected playwright. And no wonder, because she's amazing. Yeah, it was a good mix. The only thing we are missing was the ability to actually meet in person and share, you know, cafecitos and have the true Latinx festival experience.
But you know what? The resourcefulness with which this comes is also true Latinx experience as
Bien
well.
rascuate, always, of course.
That's right. Just make it happen.
Yeah.
However, and it always does, and that's the thing. Like, y'all were met with this challenge. I mean, I think we're all challenged during this pandemic, but to see the continuation and to experience the continuation of your art and your talents, it's a gift to us too. You know, I mean, I know you get to experience a new way to create, but man, I mean, it is so cool. I mean, you gotta feel good about it, no?
I feel great. More than anything, in the way that I think in times of crisis, I embrace comedy a lot. I think the world upside down needs a laugh. So to sort of approach this, you know, when asked to do this and try to look away from everything that's going on in the world, but at the same time respond to it in that satirical way of what do we place importance in, and how do we place importance, and how do we value things, and what would happen if all of that was just completely out the window because of something miraculous, in this case a silly annunciation, right? But like, it's just a matter for me of constantly questioning, like, are the realities that we dread and also want to change so much, do they both function in a level of ridiculousness that we can all, and that's very Mexican. I think I just grew up that way of like,
Sure.
we laugh at ourselves, you know, and we're our worst critics and we're our worst attackers, but we laugh it off. So I think it was very nice for me to engage in a piece from that level of generosity to myself. You know,
Yeah.
I didn't want to write something painful, because I was like, I'm already in pain.
You're like, we got plenty of that
Yeah, exactly. So it was nice to give myself permission to go there and forgive myself for being silly, you know, and allow us to hopefully feel the same way for just, you know, 10 minutes or whatever.
Well, I, for one, am super thankful for your creativity and for your silliness. Congratulations on your play today. My guest has been Georgina Escobar, author, playwright of Masterclass from a Broken Angel or Drowning Fish. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Yes, thank you for having me.